Please turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Let's begin our reading this morning with verse 10 of chapter 5. Again, we're looking at how does a believer, someone who's part of God's covenant community, how does that person live practically in this life? And there's probably no issue that we all have to deal with that is any greater than what we're about to deal with right now. So let's look beginning with verse 10 of Ecclesiastes 5. Hear now the word of God. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them, and what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much. But the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. There is a grievous evil that I've seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owner to his hurt, and those riches were lost in a bad venture. He is the father of a son, but he has nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, so shall he go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry around in his hand. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that even as worshipers, people who claim to worship you, that we have other gods, other idols we have to contend with. Lord, help us to understand what you are telling us and what you're warning us of this morning. And help us to find our greatest joy and glory in Christ alone. Lord, we pray that your word will transform us into people who think Christianly about everything. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in 1993, there was a man who ran for the President of the United States. He was from the South, and he ran against an incumbent who in January of 1993 was enjoying a 91% job approval rating that hasn't been matched by any president since that time. Now, what happened was the challenger not only won the presidency, but he won it two times in a row. Well, how? Well, there's a lot of variables that come into play in politics in both victory and defeat. But a major part of this man's victory centered on the campaign message that he gave to Americans. It can be summed up in four words. You remember it. It's the economy, stupid. In other words, the idea was this: appeal to people's pocketbooks and the people will vote for you. This man did, and the people did. The message worked like a charm. It's still a major message in politics. That's why in this election right now, one party tries to convince us that the economy is in bad shape, while the other party pushes back and says, you know, the economy's much better shape than it was when, well, you know, that other president was in office. Follow the money, and you'll follow our candidate to victory in November. Friends, money talks. As a matter of fact, almost every day, money speaks through a megaphone to us. So it should not surprise us, even a little bit, to know that the Bible devotes a great deal of time and space in Scripture to the subject of money, what money does for us, what money does to us. Money was one of the main two topics that Jesus preached on when he was here on this earth, preached and taught on. Now, what we have here, the subject obviously is money, and the issue has to do with the dangers of how people tend to relate to money in a wrong way. Now, I want to be clear about something from the outset. Please hear what I say right now. If you choose to tune me out later, that's fine. But I want you to hear this. There's nothing, according to the Bible, there's nothing wrong with money. There is nothing wrong with having money. There is nothing wrong with having lots of money. The problem with money centers on this question. And if you're taking notes, here's something you may want to jot down, and that's this. The question is, what is money to me? What is money to me? You know, Jesus says very clearly in Matthew 6:24, you cannot love both God and mammon. Now, if you study the Bible, you discover that that word mammon, it's a very infrequently used word in the Bible. It is used to describe the Syrian idol, the Syrian false god of money and material possessions. That's who mammon was. In other words, from the perspective of our Lord Jesus Christ, mammon, money, and the material things money buys is a rival god who is out to win the hearts of people, including those who claim to be following Christ. Jesus says your heart, your affections, your thoughts, your passions, they cannot be divided between this God and this God. Either pursuing this God will dominate your life, or pursuing this God is going to dominate your life. In our lives, either mammon, money, material things that can be bought with money will capture your heart, our God, as revealed in Scripture, will capture your heart. And friends, when anything besides God, God is revealed in the Bible, becomes the object of your affections, you're going to run into some major problems. Again, let me reiterate, having money is good. Earning money is good. Saving money is good. Investing money is good. Giving money away is good. Loving money is bad. It is wrong to love money with the kind of affection that you should have for the Lord alone when your heart is captured by mammon. Now, part of the problem with money is this. It's like any other gift God gives us. We're going to be dealing with this some Wednesday night when we're talking about the Christian and social media. But like all good gifts, we're living in a fallen world. In this fallen world, the devil and our own sin nature can take any gift, including money, and turn the gift into a major problem for us. And Jesus even goes on to say that money has the power to seduce us and deceive us and to turn our hearts and our lives in a bad direction. So here's the question you need to ask yourself this morning. It doesn't matter if you have a very large income or if you're as poor as a church mouse and as broke as the Ten Commandments. It doesn't matter. Here's the question. How do I know that money is a problem for me? Money is not the problem, but how do I know that money is a problem for me? Because if we don't ask ourselves these questions that are surfaced in Ecclesiastes, we're heading toward a mammon meltdown in our lives. So there are five ways you can know if money is a problem for you, regardless of your income. Five ways. First way is this. If my desires outrun what I acquire, if my desires outrun what I acquire, I'm on a path heading toward a mammon meltdown. Let me give you from Ecclesiastes 5:10, the New Living Translation. I like the vivid way in which the translators put this verse. It says this, those who love money will never have enough money. How absurd to think that wealth brings true happiness. Koheleth here does not say he who possesses money will not have enough. It's he who loves it. You see, it's not a question of having money. It's a question of money having your heart, money having your focus. His attack here is on people who are money hungry. those who think, and do you fall into this category? If I just had a little more. Friends, for people who are money hungry, the word enough, you won't find it in their vocabulary, in their dictionary. When our affections, our hearts are tied to money, we never reach a level of personal satisfaction. So ask yourself this question this morning. Seriously, am I content with my level of income? Am I content? Am I really content with what I am making right now? And then don't give the answer to me. Go before the Lord and answer that question. Because I believe if you answer that question from your heart, you will have to say, at some level, you have a lack of contentment. Now, the problem is, what you lack, money can't buy. Profits, dividends, investments, interest benefits, capital gains, all they do is whet your appetite if you're money focused for more. And you know, these people who just want more and more and more, you realize they're, except in degree, they're no different than the person who stands in front of a slot machine and drops coins in and pulls the lever. It's just a question of degree. Listen, pursuing money, hearts captured by money, can become an addiction. Our desires are going to always outrun our ability to acquire and enjoy what we have. John D. Rockefeller was at one point in time the richest man on the face of this earth. And someone one time asked him, "Mr. Rockefeller, how much money do you want?" And his reply was this, "Just a little more." That's what I want. Friends, that's addiction talking. No matter what we have, a little bit more and more and more and more. And you know what? Look what it says here. It says, this is vanity. It's emptiness. It doesn't fill you because your heart was designed by God to be fulfilled by God alone, not by any kind of spiritual junk food full of empty calories, starving your soul. See, one of the problems is this: our desires outrun what we acquire. Second way you can know that you're on a path toward having a mammon meltdown is this. That is this: if there's many fingers in my financial pie, I am on the road to mammon meltdown. Again, New Living Translation, verse 11. Look at verse 11. The more you have, the more people come to help you spend it. So what is the advantage of wealth except perhaps to watch it run through your fingers? Derek Kidner, when he was commenting on this passage, put it rather bluntly. He says, as a man's possessions increase, it seems there's a corresponding number of people who are potential parasites who want to live off that person. Just this week, I was reading about, some of you may know who Trent Richardson is, former running back for the University of Alabama. He played for the Indianapolis Colts, also for the Oakland Raiders, and just this week, there's an article about he looked at his financial spreadsheet, and guess what he discovered? He discovered, now this blew my mind. I had to read it twice to make sure I was getting it right. He discovered that family and friends had spent $1.6 million of his money in 10 months. Divide $1.6 million, divide 10 into that, I can't even imagine spending that kind of money. Cannot even imagine it. Or think of Elvis Presley. Came from a dirt poor family in Tupelo, you know, out of Memphis, struck it rich. Before he knew it, he had just hundreds of people living off of him, people he didn't even know. Friends, your name may be in lights. But as Donald Gray Barnhouse used to say, where there's light, there's bugs. You know, you live for the financial bottom line, you're going to be pestered by more and more people, putting more and more pressure on you, which leads to a third way you can know that you're heading for a mammon meltdown, and that's this. Not only are there too many fingers in your financial pie, not only do your desires outrun what you acquire, but here's a third way you can know. If my nights are long and restless nights because of money issues, if my nights are long and restless nights because of money issues, I'm on the highway to mammon meltdown. Actually, this next verse is a logical conclusion of the previous verses. Notice the progress. More money, more people, more people, more worries, more worries, less sleep. Look at verse 12. It says, sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he has little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. Here's a guy, let's just call him a common laborer, quote unquote. He's a working man. He punches in at 7, out at 4. Simple game plan, right? When the shift is over, he's done. He gone. Hops in his pick-em-up truck, drives home, takes his son to the practice field, maybe even coaches a little league team. When the game's over, he drives home, eats a bowl of chili with a fistful of Fritos in it, watches TV, and then drops in bed about 10:15. Less than a minute, he's out like a light. Now contrast that with a person who is so focused on finances that they have too much on their minds. Notice they can go to the best restaurants. Literally, they have a full stomach. They have more than enough food. But you know what? These people are popping Tums and Tylenol and Zantac along with their meal. They can't get peace of mind. They can't relax because there's too much stuff involved. But it's stuff that they made a choice to go after. So instead of counting sheep, they're consumed with financial entanglements. The laborer wakes up refreshed. This man wakes up tired and cranky. Friends, as a matter of health, if nothing else, materialism is a dangerous lifestyle. It's like I saw in a kitchen one time. It was a board and then pegs driven in the board and then huge pots and pans hanging off of it. See, the person who is focused this way is kind of like that rack because they're driven. There's these parasites, these financial burdens hanging off the pegs of their life. And one day they're going to crack under pressure. I would challenge you to do some digging on who are the people in our society who are most consumed with drugs and alcohol. And you know what? You're going to be amazed. I hope not surprised that the number of drug and alcohol abusers, very high percentage, are upper income people who are consumed over material possessions. Friends, please hear this. Financial abundance does not help you to relax. The more you have, the more you have to worry about, the more you worry, the more physical problems you have. Listen, God has designed you to work hard, to enjoy the fruits of your labor instead of always wanting more, enjoying it less. You get too attached to money, to material things, and they attach themselves to you, and before you know it, it's a burden too great to bear. So if my nights are long and restless, if there's too many fingers in my financial pie, if my desires outrun what I acquire, you're heading to mammon meltdown. Fourth way I can know is this. If my wealth tends to take wings and fly away, I'm well on my way to having a mammoth meltdown. Look at the next verse. is a grievous evil I've seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owner to their hurt, and those riches were lost in a bad venture. And he's the father of a son, but he has nothing in his hand. Friends, what we have here is a story of somebody who had a lot of money, and they made bad investments, maybe one in Enron, the other in WorldCom. And even though they have a family, there's nothing left to give. Proverbs 23, 4 and 5. Jot that down. Let me read it to you. Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5. Here's a word picture. Do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. And that word, and you know, when you set your eyes on it, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle that flies toward the heavens. That term, set your eyes, is a term of faith. When you trust in money more than you trust in the Lord, wealth takes wings. Have you noticed there's an eagle on the back of the $1 bill? It is a providential reminder that that $1 bill you hold in your hand will take wings and fly out of your wallet. It's going to happen. This dollar and the next one and the next one and the next 100 and the next 1,000. Money has wings. It flies out of your life. I did that one time for a children's sermon at First Pres Hattiesburg, and the children just went for it. It was like a pylon in a football game. Prove my point. Friends, financially, you can go from hero to zero, from prince to pauper, overnight. Please hear this. There is no such thing as financial security. The only absolute positive guaranteed security you have is found in Christ. And that security cannot be purchased. Grace is free. Now, grace cost the life of Jesus Christ, but it is free to us. And if you want to be really secure in this life, you have to find your security in Christ. Eternal security is what matters. It wasn't purchased with gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Please hear this. If you have Jesus, you have eternal security. If you do not have Christ this morning, you are not secure, no matter what your portfolio looks like. There's a fifth problem, or a fifth way, rather, that we can know that we're heading toward mammon meltdown. If wealth tends to take wings and fly away, you've had that happen, I know you have. My nights are long and restless because of money issues. If you've tossed and turned because of that, there's too many people wanting what I have, and if my desires outrun what I acquire, I'm on a path to mammon meltdown. Fifth way I can know is this, our fifth problem is this. If I cannot take money with me into the next life, the finality of death will haunt me, and I'll have a mammon meltdown. You know, I love Paul Harvey, late Paul Harvey. He told a story one time about a man who told his wife, he says, promise me that when I die, you'll put all the money that I have in my coffin. Promise me now. And she said, yes, dear, I promise you, that's what I'll do. So when the Lord came for this man and it was time for the funeral, the lady walked over to the coffin, had a box about this big, placed it in the coffin, kissed her husband on the forehead, and then they closed the coffin. Well, the sister had been there when this promise was made. Said, why'd you lie to your husband? She said, I didn't lie to my husband. She said, yeah, that you said that you would let him take with him all the money that he had. She said, that's exactly what I did. I deposited all his money in my checking account and wrote him a check and then put the check in the coffin. I did exactly that. Again, you can't take it with you. So why focus on it? Why focus? William James put it this way: that which holds your attention determines your actions. You hear that? That which holds your attention determines your actions. We need to pay closest attention to eternal concerns rather than material concerns that consume us. We cannot take our material wealth with us. But you know what? If you're in Christ, you already possess the one in whom is all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You are a spiritual gazillionaire, and you are guaranteed an inheritance in heaven if you're in Christ. Guaranteed. And the way we know that is there's already a deposit in our lives. It is the Holy Spirit has guaranteed that we will enjoy great treasures in heaven. Listen, if you're in Christ this morning, you're rich, regardless of your income. If you're not in Christ, doesn't matter how many figures you have in your annual income, you're poor. The difference is Jesus. You know, when your greatest treasure is the Lord, a couple of good gifts, other good gifts come your way. One is the gift of enjoyment. See, you can enjoy life because money is no longer an issue. Your relationship with Christ is settled. You can enjoy life. Also, you can enjoy fulfillment. The most unfulfilled people in the world are those who think the grass is always greener on the other side of the hill, and that having just one more thing will cause the bluebird of happiness to sing its way into your life. See, Christ alone can both fill you up and make you hungry for more of Him. You can have a full life and still a hunger for heaven because of Jesus. I want you to understand the problem with money is not money. The problem is what you focus on and attach yourself to. We focus on the Lord. Our hearts need to be attached to the Lord. And I want you to realize just by being here this morning, you've come to a fork in the road. You can't go but one of two ways. You can either focus on mammon and head toward an eventual meltdown of some kind, or you can focus on the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ alone has all the riches of wisdom and knowledge. If you're in Christ, this is the road you'll go down. But listen, you can't go down both paths. So let me ask you this morning, which way are you going? Let's pray. Lord, we pray that our greatest desire in life would be not to acquire things, but to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray for an awareness that having money makes us a target for people who want to drain us. Lord, give us grace to be very generous with our money, but to be wary. Lord, we pray that our insomnia would not be financially induced insomnia. Lord, we pray that we would work and rest and not worry. Lord, we pray that we realize that money, like everything else we have, is not an anchor. It's not a foundation on which to build. Christ, you and your words are the anchor and the foundation. Lord, we pray that we'll understand money is for this life only, that the wealth we take is not the wealth we make, but that by possessing Christ, we possess everything we need. Lord, we pray that Jesus would be our greatest desire, that Jesus would be the wealth we share, Jesus would be the rest we need, Jesus would be the stability we seek, and that Jesus would be the inheritance we receive. And Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.